Yes, ghostly talk. This
it is ghostly talk. I'm Doug. We're talking over today.
Interesting weekend for both of us, including our guest today, Mr. Will Whitmer. Say hi, Will.
How you doing?
We got a lot of stuff to cover in an hour.
We're
going to be all over the map today, I think.
It's going to be impossible. Yeah, again.
We're going to be all over the map today. There's no topic for this show today. It's basically going to be talking about cool stuff.
Yeah, we're...
So that's what we're going to say in the archives.
Cool, our cool stuff.
Cool stuff. We never had a show like that.
Cool stuff show. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Why not?
Crazy weekend for everybody. I understand DEPI went out for a little excursion.
Yeah, we went out to Bachelor's Grove Cemetery in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
And then we also hit a few other places while we were out there. A place called Resurrection Cemetery out in Justice, Illinois. There's the legend of Resurrection Mary, where supposedly people have picked her up outside the cemetery, thinking she was an actual person, just to have her disappear a few miles down the road. We also went to a Jewish cemetery called Waldheim, which is just outside of Chicago. Massive Jewish cemetery. And the weird thing about the Jewish cemeteries was everyone was buried standing up.
Yeah. I've heard about that with Jewish cemeteries.
In the Jewish tradition,
now,
yeah.
Facing
east?
Yeah, I've heard various reasons. I mean, does anybody sitting here right now have a definite reason why they do that? I want to get some confirmation on this if anybody knows.
Actually, yeah. I don't know.
I think what we'll have to do is we'll have to go to that. Remember that sock.jewishfac that I had found?
Yeah. We'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I'll have to actually listen to Ghostly Talk from last week or the week before, whenever we talked about, it was the week we were talking about the demons. So it was last week.
Yeah.
And I had found the Jewish frequently asked question.
I mean, I'm sure there may be some. There's probably a divine reason why it's done. From a business standpoint, I mean, it is space conservation too. It makes sense. I mean, anywhere that makes sense to do that. Really, I mean, you're housing all these people in a cemetery. It would make sense to stand them up. It would save a lot of space.
Well, I hope to save even more space because my own wishes are to be cremated.
I never thought about that. I don't think that far ahead. Well, you know, we've talked about that before on the show where.
Yeah.
I don't like to talk about death.
Well,
I'm having too much fun.
Ghostly talk.
I understand that, but, you know, as far as my personal opinion goes, I mean, I like to talk about, I'm having a lot of fun being alive right now, so, and I'm having fun studying the afterlife while I'm alive.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll never know for sure until we die.
Yeah, right now, this is the perspective I would rather have.
Yeah.
From this side of the
fence.
I
agree. So, tell us, you guys are crossing state borders now. This is insane.
Yeah.
This is insane.
Well, first of all, I'm drinking a malt, so
pardon
me. First of all, DDPI, Downriver Detroit Paranormal Investigators, they have a website, www.ddpi.net.
Yeah.
So talk about a cool domain name.
Yeah.
They got a four-letter domain name.
You know what? We were talking about, me and my sister were talking about that the other night. She was sitting in front of my computer with me, and I'm like, hey, check out this site, you know, and I'm like, yeah, ddpi.net, and, I'm like, isn't that great? She's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, you know how hard it is to get a hold of a three or four letter domain name nowadays?
And tell me about
she's
it.
She's like, she just like looked at me for a second. And she's like, you are a dork. You are a dork. It's official, Scott. Gradually, it's been going on, but you are a geek now, Scott.
You have officially attained geekdom.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I got my belt on.
But your geek utility belt. Well, what happens is DDPI is they bring a new definition to the term extreme ghost hunters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's actually official. We've been really doing this thing. I mean, serious, me and you. It's a 1-year anniversary. I was thinking about it this morning.
I completely forgot
about
that.
About
happy
year.
Anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Yeah. So,
not for Ghostly Talk,
but
for
we went out with a lot of people. We've worked with a lot of people. We've been to all these crazy places. I know you've been on a lot more hunts than I have with these guys. Unfortunately, my schedule is just ridiculous, so it's hard to get out when I want to. I like to get out more.
Well, yeah, there's at least a 3 or 4 day, you know, like, rest period that I need between hunts
DDPI. What you said, though, I mean, a whole new definition of ghost hunting. I mean,
extreme ghost hunting.
Exactly, and
I picture it spelled capital X-treme
ghost
hunting. I mean, it should be on ESPN, too.
No joke. I mean, because I've never seen people approach it like this, which it isn't a bad thing, obviously, but it's like, There's no messing around.
Get your evidence out right now. This isn't a game.
No. But it's done. I mean, DDPI as a group, they present themselves in a completely different manner, which is more my kind of people anyways. You know, it's about going out and doing this. We're doing this, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But the whole aesthetics and everything, too. I mean, when you guys go to the site, which I highly recommend, I mean, the first thing you're going to be greeted with is Hell's Bells by AC/DC, which when I heard that, I was like, oh, this is cool. So, I mean, and Brian just does a great job on that site. I've never seen somebody. It's hard being a webmaster. I know. And it's hard when you're running your own site, your own group, and every day update. But Brian, religiously, you find something new on that site. You got to keep clicking refresh when you're on the site because something new will pop up while you're sitting there for a couple minutes.
He's always that intense
on the site to keep it updated as much as possible. I mean, we went on there today, and there's like a whole new front page.
Yeah.
New pictures, and I like the one on the bottom. I enjoyed the pictures.
I actually see it. I love her before they were finishing it up.
Brian and who's the, I forgot his name.
Frank.
Frank, they're flipping the camera. Which you don't see that.
I thought I didn't see that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, see, that's exactly why. See, you don't even know. Right. You updated that much.
I'm up to 5 o'clock, you know.
But, I mean, a whole different attitude. Not, you know, just it's like, okay, we're not going to mess around here. We're not nice guys all the time, you know, but it's an honest way to do things, though. I mean, there's millions of sites on the net that me and Doug have seen.
Yeah. So well, we go through not only for our own amusement, but also for
Ghostly
Talk. Yeah,
we've seen a lot of great sites, and we've seen some that are complete garbage.
Yeah.
I'm not going to knock any...
Well,
Demon Buster,
or whatever it is, DemonBuster.com, whatever.
I'm sorry. There just comes a time in your life where you have to say, you suck. I mean, because...
They do.
Honestly,
they have their point.
I try to be the most proactive person I can, but there's just sometimes when I see things, it's like, are you for real, man? Anyways, no more ripping on websites. I'm sorry. But the whole approach is just something I've never seen. Because when you think of ghost hunting, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
It really is associated with geekdom. I mean, honestly, lots of people that do this thing, I mean, it's like they don't really know anything else but like science and ghost hunting and whatever else they want to study as far as the paranormal goes. And you guys just bring a whole new thing into it where it's, you're going out of state. You're doing these road trips. You're getting the work done. You're taking care of business, basically, which it's cool to watch it from the outside. Like I said, I can't get out as much as I'd like to, but it's great to watch it from the outside and go, God, these guys are every single night. These guys are out ripping stuff. What's going on here? I mean, but going back, though, you guys did go out of state, though. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, like what happened last night?
Went to Bachelor's Grove. Uh-huh. That was the only night investigation. We went in there. Some shadows running around where nobody was even there.
Uh-huh.
A lot of noises. We got some great pics with orbs. We have a couple really nice pics with mists, both off two different digital cameras. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, and the 35mm stuff yet to be developed. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
you guys are fresh in from the hunt.
You're still smoking. I can see it coming out. Yeah, I mean, amazing, though. I mean, like I said, I mean, with my whole debacle going on last night, me and Doug are still talking on the phone. He's like, they're in Chicago, and I just got a call. I mean, I did hear there was an incident.
Yes, an incident with
Can you tell about that a little bit? This is great.
We're all out in the middle of the woods. We were walking the trails back and just checking out some other places. There was an urban legend that a house of the caretaker of the cemetery that has been torn down appears in the middle of the night. And it's been documented numerous times by many different people that they've seen this, and we went looking for it.
Okay.
Well, all of a sudden we hear over this loudspeaker, actually the area immediately, it was really, really loud.
Loudspeaker.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Like right out of a cop car. And so we gathered up all of our stuff, and we walked over to the forest preserve where we were parked, and Steve had lost the camera battery, $70 camera battery. So him and Brian went back in looking for it.
No.
And we did end up finding it later.
Okay.
After we were allowed back in by the police. But the police showed up, just one guy, and then once he found out what we were doing, what we were all about, he allowed us to, go back in.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah. In fact, Brian, a guy we met from New York, got to actually ride in the cop car to show where there was like another entrance into it.
Yeah, I heard that you actually had to like take a ride with the guy, and he like took you around like around the block or something like that.
I didn't, but
you
didn't.
Brian did.
Yeah.
And I heard you guys had. Yeah, he's just like, okay, you got 50 minutes. You know, that's cool. Just keep it on the DL. You know.
Well, he was also talking about how he has gone out there and just tried to scare kids also.
Oh, the cop?
Yeah, he doesn't really as far as we know, he hasn't really arrested anybody out there unless they're, like, you know, really being destructive. But he tries to, you know, he's out there, you know, scaring people basically to get them out of there.
Wow. I mean, but you guys were in there. I mean, you guys, obviously, you carry identification now, too.
Yes, which
and whenever, if a situation like that does pop up, you do show that to them and go, look, we're on an investigation here. Here's our specs. Here's the stats.
We're very professional about it.
Any questions, please feel free to ask. You guys actually gave me one, too. I put that on, too? My badge.
Of all your...
All my touring passes and stuff from the band. I put a hole through the thing, and I put it on there with all my other stuff. And people are looking at my badges last night after the show, and they're like, what's this DDPI thing? Honorary member? And I'm like, it's a ghost hunting group. And they're like... I thought you were a rocker. I'm a geek, too. Very cool, though. Very, very cool. I wish, unfortunately, we were supposed to have Brian here tonight, too.
Yeah.
He's running a little bit late. I hope he can get here sometime so he can hop on here and tell us some more stuff also. But anything else crazy happened last night?
That was really about it. I mean, we did get some, the pictures were just amazing. I mean, all the digital ones that we have looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Just phenomenal pictures. I mean, one of the first pictures we took had just a beautiful mist in it. And then from there, I mean, I was taking pictures. Brian was taking pictures. I used up two rolls of film there, just regular 35 millimeter, which I still get to see. But I was also using Tim's other camera. We just did a lot of stuff.
Very cool. Very active group. Like we said before, there's a lot of ghost hunting groups out there that, I mean, I know some groups, they go months without going out.
Oh, yeah.
They just go months. And it's like, for example, when I was going down on my little trip to Tennessee, I told you I was trying to dial up people there. And, of course, I got half the email back when I got home. But a lot of these people are like, well, yeah, we usually only go out like every 2 months. Sorry. Like,
every 2 months?
Even me, yeah. I mean, I go out whenever I can, but I go out a lot more than that. And
you're at least with us, once every couple of weeks.
At the least, hopefully. Yeah. You know, I try to get out more than that. But, I mean, I if you're into this, I mean, the thing that's funny is that if you're into this,
you'd think you're
sitting
would.
There. I mean, it isn't like, I mean, okay, granted, I mean, there may be groups out there that have a lot of other stuff to deal with also. I mean, I've seen the real big professional groups. You see them on Discovery and all that. These people bring, you know, vans with them. Pretty much like a radio unit set up in the van. I mean, I can imagine where it costs a few bucks to run that stuff. There may be bills to deal with, this and that. But really, if you're just an average ghost hunter with the basic equipment that you need, I mean, it isn't like the places are going anywhere. I mean, you can go there anytime you want. I mean, if I had all the time in the world, which I wish I did, I'd be out there every night just checking stuff out, trying to find something out there.
Well,
that's not knocking anybody, though, either. It's just how you guys approach it, though. That's what makes it different.
The whole thing is that... one of the reasons when we were at Ohio State Reformatory and we took the little seminar with Dr. Ken, he made an immense amount of sense, saying that ghost hunting is basically being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And, you know, happening to snap the camera at that moment.
And statistically speaking, I mean, if you're there
more you would...
You're going to increase your odds.
Yeah, increase your odds of getting the picture, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, a little gambling... Well, casino talk there for you.
Casino talk. And
there are certain places that they have a better.
They're
odds,
more active.
More active on different, on any given night. Hunter's Grove is definitely one of them.
That's where you get a lot of your stories from, too. I mean, you know, we all know that you're talking at a party, and you mentioned that you're into ghost hunting or you're into the paranormal, and there's always, we've talked about this before on the air. There'll always be somebody standing there going, hey, you know, I heard this story about this place, man. Like this person got their head lopped off, you know, in a machete or
how morbid.
I don't know.
But yeah.
Now that leads to the next point, though. That
all right?
Okay. Obviously, theoretically speaking, because this whole show is one big theory.
Yeah. It's a theory why people even listen to it, but yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the odds of activity being in an area usually comes from signs of stress, extreme emotion, or death. violent death predominantly. And we have somebody popping up on the Yahoo Messenger. Let's see if it's anything good. Are any of DDPI in serious relationships? I wonder, because it seems like their significant other would get bugged with them always going out.
Well, that's a really good question, actually.
Thank you.
Yes.
Actually, a few of them are, but quite a few of us are not, including myself. I've been you know, not in a serious relationship since basically March of this year. But
welcome to dating talk.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
You can describe yourself if you want. This might get you a date here.
Well, my picture is up on the website.
Yeah.
Go to members.
Yeah, there you go. Will Whitmer.
DDPI.net. Go to members. Will.
That does raise an interesting point, though.
There is indeed one fellow whose significant other, his wife, says she wants him home at this and that time.
Oh.
He's got, like, a curfew. There's
probably the most cynical person in the group.
Yeah. and then there's other folks who we've actually been out on hunts with DDPI where the husband and wife came along as a team.
Yeah.
Right. They weren't actual members, but they were,
me and you have been on numerous hunts like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Where the husband-wife team goes out.
Okay, well,
husband-wife-daughter team once.
That's actually a cool thing to do, though. I mean, we've talked about the benefits of taking on a hobby like this. Even if you just want to go out and walk around, I mean, first of all, that's a cool adventure.
Oh.
Second of all, I mean, you can get your significant other involved in it if you want. It isn't like, you know, going out with the boys on the weekend playing football, you know, where, you know.
Yeah, where.
I'm not trying to be chauvinistic, you know, but, you know, you get about 10 big guys out there and you put your wife in there. A, you're going to tend to be a little bit protective of her, and B, she might get her ass kicked.
Well, yeah, there's like some pile of 10 guys.
Yeah, and there's a lot of hobbies like that, but I mean, ghost hunting.
But also, there are singles in the DDPI group, ladies, so head on over to the site.
And there's singles on this show, by the way.
Yeah.
Cool. Right here.
Almost, yeah.
I mean, every week we harangue ourselves like that, don't we?
However, our current picture, though, the promo pic that we took.
Oh, yeah, we gotta get that up.
Oh, that is hilarious. We look like a couple of thugs. I mean,
we're sitting in front of a cannon.
Yeah,
we should do that maybe this week if we get a few minutes. We should get that up on the site maybe.
Well, it's on the DDPI message board,
yeah.
So in the Ghostly Talk section. So
that would be cool. We could probably do that also. And we have more visitors
coming into
the Haunted Studios.
Cool. So what we're going to do...
We're going to go to a break real quick and get everybody settled in here, so just give us a second, and we'll be back in a minute.
Visit us at www.geocities.com/WMGhost for details now.
It's paranormally scientific. It's Ghostly Talk.
Ghost Hunting, My Ethereal Anti-Drug.
All right, now we got a full house.
Yeah, we do. We have, let's introduce folks. Of course, we've been talking to Will.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have now Tim showed up from DDPI.
Tim's here.
And yes, and we have Steve Rogers. And
you guys were all out this weekend. We were just talking to Will about that.
500-mile adventure to the Thousand Acre Wood.
You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull this mic off of the stand so we can get these guys closer up to it.
And
that way,
well, they can pass it around.
Yeah, we can do it like that.
That
would be cool.
Let
me do that.
Here, pull the channel. The channel out.
This is real radio, people. We are completely
live radio.
We're not dumping anything. We're just going with it while we can. Here.
Yeah, we're trying to do this because the DDPI adventure this weekend I heard was just something awesome. Well,
and
I read about it.
Doug is uncoiling
the plug
right now.
This, of course, decides to be a pain in the neck only during live radio.
What you get for being so organized.
I know. I wanted to organize these things really well. And then it comes back to haunt me.
Yeah.
I'm ghostly talking.
Well, how many times do you quit?
Are we going to edit this show?
No, we're not. This is great. Oh, this is hilarious, man.
I am not a sound engineer.
Here, I think we got it now.
How long is that? That's a nice, good call.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
You guys are good.
Awesome.
All right, so we got Tim here. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, Tim?
We'll pull up his channel.
I'm pulling up.
Well, I'm also a Taylor Tuckian along with Brian.
Awesome.
Taylor Tuckian, my life, born and raised, and currently working full-time as a teacher.
Yeah, I heard about
if
that.
If that is of any type of relevance.
Yeah, absolutely it is. What do you teach?
I spent 5 years teaching in the psychiatric hospital for the state of Michigan, adolescents at Hawthorne Center.
Okay.
And I left that, and I'm currently teaching in a charter public school.
Very cool.
Special ed.
We'll pass it on over to Steve there.
Hey, you might be able to help some of us then.
Yeah. we charge an hour.
I could probably help.
My name's Steve Rogers. I live in Holt. Michigan, about five minutes south of Lansing.
Stop there. Okay, after the show, we have got to get him to do like 8 or 9 ghostly talks.
Yeah, listen to that voice.
That voice is awesome.
Talk
radio
some
voice.
More.
Yeah. you got to do like 8 or 9
what are you guys talking about?
promos for us, because that is awesome on the radio.
He can also sing the jingle if he's got a really...
Smooth.
Yeah.
Very good.
Totally awesome. So, okay.
Now we put you on the spot. You have to perform.
Sorry, Steve. You look a little like Elvis Presley if you hold that
mic. So, okay, Steve, thanks. I had to interject there. But, all right, so you live near Lansing?
Yeah, I live near Lansing. I'm a carpenter. I do remodeling, that type of deal. I've been doing... research on the paranormal for the past year and a half, 2 years, and I've actually been out in the field investigating for the past 6 months or so, taking pictures, videos, EVPs, things of the sort, various locations.
Very cool.
Awesome.
And we talked to Will a little bit about last night, and like from your guys' standpoint, I mean, what happened from your guys' standpoint? So basically we're repeating what Will said.
Yeah.
But it's going to come out of your mouth.
Well,
which will make the show very, very interesting.
Yeah.
For those who haven't got to read my post yet, I've identified DDPI's prime directive, which is to constantly and always remain fluid and flexible.
Okay.
Meaning that when an investigation starts out, does not always mean that's where it goes.
Yeah, I heard, or I read on that post.
As you'll see on the post,
You start out
with a direction and with a goal. However, we find there are many other things in between that will slow us down and create new investigations as we go.
Yes.
So the very first thing they did was not Bachelor's Grove. You just started out, and boom, there's this house.
Well, yeah, the very first thing, in fact, we didn't even get out of Michigan before we decided that this was a very opportunistic-looking residence. And, in fact, we wouldn't have found it. Again, as I said on the post, we called the Holiday Inn where we were supposed to pick up our second car for the caravan, and they told me I was going south of US 50. Otherwise, we would have been up the other side of US 50 and bypassed this beautiful looking farm with three or four outbuildings.
Yeah.
And of course, the highlight was finding out that Madam
Sylvia,
the psychic, had once did something there because he had a sign.
Oh.
But again, I guess you couldn't tell the future and realize that it was limited opportunities out of the old farmhouse. And then, of course, it continued into Illinois finally. And again, Bachelor Grove was our destination, but again, being flexible with the prime directive, we ended up downtown Chicago for pizza.
And
is that
which
that
you
picture on
get.
The site? We commented on that a few minutes ago with Will before you guys got here.
Where they were sitting around
flipping the camera.
Oh,
yeah.
That's our Christmas card picture. And that is actually like 3:30 a.m. That's after we came.
You guys looked like you were steaming.
Came down to Miracle Mile, and we stood outside these two big tour buses, which some groupies told us was supposed to be Kid Rock and Aerosmith.
Oh, really?
So they said. And they thought we were there to try to sneak pictures, and I think they were trying to sneak something else because they got into the hotel lobby, but I guess they weren't good enough.
You should have told them to call me. Jeez, man. You got my number, right?
Well, we told him that I guess we knew Uncle Cracker and
I know Kid
some other
Rock.
People
I know Uncle Cracker, too,
so we,
you know?
We decorated the bus with DDPI cards across
that's
the windshield
a great
wipers,
use for
stuck them into the window separations. Were
oh,
good.
They're
going to be
guys.
A week pulling them out, yeah.
We
yeah.
both buses just in case one was indeed Aerosmith and the other was Kid Rock's.
Well, that's the way to cover
so
your
So they
bases.
Knew that someone from Detroit was there and cared. And then after that, we ended up in another cemetery, which someone told us was supposedly the resurrection cemetery with the apparitions, which turned out to be a fine, overpacked Jewish cemetery. And as Brian has said, it's probably had more people buried in there than we've ever seen anywhere. It runs a gravestone side by side in straight rows, and they're about 1 to 3 feet apart from one row to the next.
Looks like Cleveland.
Yeah, it's like Cleveland. And surprisingly, like downtown Chicago as well. I was quite impressed with the city. Though, you know, again, trying to call for help in Chicago is not conducive because no one down there seems to want to help. However, the city itself was real nice. And then eventually, after waiting a couple hours to try to find Resurrection Cemetery, we decided the obvious thing to do was to buy a map.
No. No. Was Frank driving? Frank was driving, and you needed a map?
Frank was driving. We still needed a map. His radar, I don't think, was working.
The other side of the water. Yeah.
You know, it was that transcendental thing with the time. Once we bought the map.
Oh, that's right. You got an extra hour of ghost hunting in
so we had
by going to Chicago.
We ate that up. Well, not
oh, yeah,
really,
that's
but
true.
Using it up on a pizza trip.
Yeah. That you never actually had
pizza.
Burgers. Yeah.
Oh. And then later we found out, as we did make it to Bachelor's Grove, that we should have went to Goat's Head and had the cheeseburger, and a Coke.
Chivica.
The Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Chivica
Fry. Or Fry, whatever it was. But yeah, that's what
Pepsi, I think.
We ended up with cheeseburgers anyways, but we could have done it at Goat's Head.
Oh, man.
And Resurrection Cemetery does have some beautiful new crypts going in, and I believe they have some available for the upcoming season.
I don't plan on making a reservation. Not for the upcoming season, anyway.
Well, yeah, that's just to say you could probably fulfill your obligation
later. Yeah. Oh, I see. You do the one part, the business part first, and then later,
and then
on,
later
you.
Do the
I
actual
see.
Physical part.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I like I said earlier, I'm gonna be cremated. So.
And then, of course, our prime directive was finally fulfilled after being flexible 5 or 6 times. We made it to Bachelor's Grove.
This is DDPI after. These are DDPI folks. This is extreme ghost hunting.
This is Tim, the photographer, researcher. And as we finally found Bachelor's Grove, we ended up in the, I guess, the regular recreation area. And some stalker-looking guy, I asked him where the cemetery was, and he says, "It's up over there behind the cell towers."
He wasn't drinking Jim Beam or anything, was he?
I think he may have drank. He wasn't current.
Oh, I see.
He was already
finished. Yeah, okay.
So we decided to try to follow his advice somewhat. And sure enough, as we pulled up by the cell towers, we identified the road going back into the woods. So then we hopefully try to make up that extra hour we wasted on pizza that we didn't get. Then, of course, afterwards, too, we went back down to Chicago because Brian still wanted pizza at 3 a.m., which is where the Christmas card picture was taken. It's currently on the front page.
Yes, of the site.
It's down, in fact, behind us, and you can't see it, is the Cream Cheesecake Factory.
Yep.
Beautiful,
oh, wow.
Copper-colored factory thing. And they had people coming out the door at 4 a.m. I guess they were the midnight cheesecake bakers.
Yeah, and I'm sure that kind of thing in Chicago probably goes on and on and on. I mean, they have that Chicago Cheesecake Factory kind of thing.
It's going. But
they make cheesecake in Chicago?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, it's really big.
It's an amazing
pastime.
Yeah.
And I was surprised the people on the street weren't quite as receptive to our taking pictures as the people at the cemeteries. We actually had two young ladies, they really, literally run down the street from us, and they did not stop until they came up to a group of 4 police officers. Then they stopped at the police officers, turned back, looked at us, and pointed, and then they walked on slowly. I guess they figured the police would be a buffer between us and them. So we just flashed not literally flashed. We used a flash on the
camera. Camera flash.
We flashed
yeah.
them all the way down the street, which, of course, resulted in them running further and faster away from us.
Well, that's an easy way to get rid of the natives, then. Well, if you're ever stuck in
Chicago at
yeah,
3 a.m.
and you just flash.
That's
so
another thing, though, too, that we were talking to Will here earlier about just the whole aesthetic of DDPI. And I know it's happened to you guys before where I've heard stories where everybody hops out and predominantly you guys all dress the same when you go out. I mean, obviously when you're out at that time, you want to wear dark clothing. And you want to dress in black, but I know a couple members actually have their shirts on, they're wearing their vests, so sometimes it looks like you're a SWAT team when you're hopping out of the van. And I know people have seen you with that situation too, where they're like, who are these guys?
Particularly when we're in the city, because yes, when we jump out of the van, we had two members that would come out wearing vests. They were actual SWAT vests, not bulletproof. But the actual, instead of photographer's vest, the ones with multi-pockets that they picked up at Harry's Army Surplus
yeah.
that were black. And through the back with the nylon netting, you can see the some of the white letters.
Yeah, the DDPI letters.
Brian wearing just his black shirt with just all the letters, the DDPI. It very quickly, if you look at it, is police department.
Yeah.
Into a sense.
Uh-huh.
And many people just assume it's a police department. We're moving out of their way.
Well, that just adds to the whole professionalism of it, though. We mentioned earlier that you guys do carry identification with the logo on there and everything. And, you know, if you do happen to get stopped by somebody, which has happened, you walk up there, you have your shirts on, you're dressed to the nines, basically, in a way, and you show them your identification. And that is a very good thing to do, obviously. It does keep people out of trouble. If you're just your average, if you're just like four people out there walking around a cemetery or a house or wherever you're at, and a cop pulls up, and you're like, well, yeah, we're ghost hunting. Well, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be like, get out of here. But if you have identification, you show them that this isn't just a joke, that you're out there just trying to get a thrill, so to say, they're going to go a lot easier on you, as they illustrated last night, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think that was definitely the case, particularly when we came out with all our equipment. I think the Forest Conservation Protection...
People. Person.
Forest...
Preservation officer. That's what his official title was. We just noticed that nice black 9 on his side and figured he meant business. But I think he was really quite impressed not only with the business cards that Will had designed, but also with the equipment that we had. I think he saw us as a group that was out to try to do something, even though, as he said, I've heard it all and I've seen nothing.
Mm.
But he was still, I think, he understood that we were serious in what we were attempting to do.
Very cool.
Cool.
Why don't we go to a break real quick?
Yeah.
Give our voices a rest because you can hear mine starting to crackle again.
Should I play the same set, though? We're out of things.
We haven't done the West. Have we put the...
We did.
Did we?
I'll do them again.
All right.
Hey, yeah. You know, well, that's another thing we want to talk about before, if we get a chance to, is Felt Mansion. There's
yeah.
only the one open date left, so
we'll
let's,
you
let's
the
play their promo again.
We'll take a break.
Here we go.
West Michigan Ghost Hunters Society invites you to join us at the Felt Mansion. Visit us at www.geocities.com/WMGhost for details now.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.
And we're back.
We're back live in the Haunted Basement Studios in Fraser, Michigan.
Yeah.
With our guests.
DDPI.
DDPI. We've got Will, Tim, and
Steve
here.
Now, we've talked a lot in the past about, certain rules you should go by when you're on an investigation. I mean... we've talked. We actually in our first season we talked about that a lot.
Oh yeah.
And
well, the first season was our intro season,
building things up. Yeah, trying to get the foundation built. And it's it's very cool to have you guys here because you can give us a first hand. Because me and Doug say we go out ghost hunting, but how do they know? We have you guys here, and you guys, we can talk about this with you guys also. We'd like to get a firsthand, opinion on this from people who are actively, and that's actually saying, that's an understatement saying that, are out there every night just about, and you're going to see a lot, in a short amount of time, you're going to get a lot of experience in this, and the things you should and shouldn't do on an investigation. So, do you guys care to dive into that a little bit with us?
Well, and not only that, I think we were alluding to the fact that when you went to Bachelor's Grove, there was just it was a mob scene.
Disney
right?
World. Disney World is what I call it. An e-ticket ride at Disney World.
Dang. So, yeah, what do you find is conducive to ghost hunting, not conducive to ghost hunting, that kind of thing?
Well, in my experience, and I think, too, with the other members, a lot of times we have people who are, I think, looking for a thrill more so than actual evidence and proof of some type of afterlife existence. And they tend to just remember their childhood as they go about the cemetery, if it's a cemetery or a building, and they just want to run rampant wherever they go, hop, skip, and jump, and just sort of just look and say, I don't see nothing. So then off they hop to another part of the building or the cemetery.
Meanwhile, contaminating evidence, contaminating others.
And speaking from my viewpoint, sometimes when you go out there, they don't take it seriously. And for those of us who try to take pictures and capture things on video or EVP or whatnot, people are walking around and they're just laughing and giggling and making fun of each other. And maybe us are poking fun. It's just... It's
bit depressing.
Disheartening.
Disheartening. It's really. It is. It's disappointing.
Yeah, I know from past experience. Me and Doug know all too well, how you should conduct yourself. I know that a little bit of humor every once in a while is healthy. You got to keep the tension down a little bit because you get that many people out there at that time of night, and where it's a house or a cemetery or wherever you're going, you got the vibe going that, hey, there could be something here. And that tends to put a little tension on people's neck, especially people that have not done it very much before. They tend to be, obviously, a little more nervous. So a little bit of humor from people who have been doing it for a while, sometimes that helps them. But that's only to a certain level, though.
Exactly.
You got to find a good common ground with this. And I have seen it firsthand where it just got out of control sometimes.
Exactly. That's not to say that we don't go out there and goof off every once in a while. But also when you go out there with a certain attitude of being goofy or whatnot, I think it takes away from the energy, so to speak, of the situation, of the place. So you may not get the desired results. Whereas if you were to go in there with a more serious frame of mind, you may come out with more positive results. So.
Well, obviously, I don't even know why I'm mentioning this, but for God's sakes, be quiet. a lot of people are running tapes. They're running digital recorders.
That's
They're running analog recorders. And if you're blabbing your mouth over there, you're standing next to the guy's recorder that he's playing on top of a tombstone or a table or wherever you're at, going blah, 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 blah. You're not going to pick anything up.
And essentially, it's almost like taking your film to get it developed somewhere, and somebody turns on the light and ruins the whole roll of film. Essentially, that's what happens when those situations
come
up. You've
contaminated the evidence, and it's of no use.
But I do find, that's where I come from, though, too. And it sounds like you agree, thank goodness. it's good to have, you got to have a little bit of humor in there just to keep people, let people know everything's going to be okay. What's that? I know. We talk about the Savage House, and I've seen people go into that house. Children, I might add, that had no business there at the time of night we were all there, and they were scared to the point where they were almost what's the word I'm looking for?
Pissing themselves.
Pissing themselves is one of them.
Point
where they were hyperventilating.
Oh, that's true.
That's the one that I'm like, you gotta get out of here.
Yeah, you guys need to get out,
And You don't belong there if that's your attitude. I mean, if you can't handle it, that's one of the number one things we say. Look, if you're not comfortable with it, don't go there. You're just going to screw your own self up by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And the mind is, it's all about the mind, basically.
I know, and it's psychologically, if you mess yourself up.
I don't understand how people do that, where they know it's not good for them or healthy for them mentally, but they still... They want to put themselves in that situation. I guess it's kind of like, I guess I hate to use this as an analogy, but drug use.
Well,
you know,
I
it's bad for
it's
you.
It's self-destructive.
Well, I smoke cigarettes, so who am I? Yeah. I'm shutting up.
Well, I think it's the e-ticket ride at Disney World. Everyone wants to ride the roller coaster, even though most people hate it. But they'll still ride it for the thrill. And I think it's the same thing with most of these people who tend to go out ghost hunting on a periodic basis.
Yeah.
And they get out there and they're looking for that cheap thrill.
Mm-hmm.
We've
mm-hmm.
even had people send emails and contact EDPI saying they want to know either places to go or can they go with us because they want to look, they want to see if they can get scared. We want to be scared. We want to go someplace scary.
I don't like being scared personally. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I'd rather be scientific.
Fear factor is when something's wrong.
Well, that's where I think a lot of it comes from too. Honestly, I mean, and we've talked about this before also, that the media in Hollywood tends to portray the paranormal as this big scary thing, and shows like Fear, or am I missing any here? Fear or
well, anything in Hollywood. I mean, everything Hollywood does is scary.
Yeah.
And then once you actually go out into the field, you find that's one of the things that you realize. You kind of think about it, or me personally, I think about it in the back of my mind. You know, all these movies that you watch, mm-hmm. you know, it's all scary or whatnot. But once you go out into the field to like a cemetery or an abandoned house where something is happening or something, it doesn't tend to be that way. It's a total different situation.
Well, if you think of the paranormal
mm-hmm.
as, I mean, because obviously scientifically we have to say it exists in one sense, and it doesn't exist, so we're trying to prove it. Like,
uh-huh.
you know, you have to have your own beliefs, but then you have to separate them out when
yeah.
you're doing scientific stuff. However, if paranormal stuff exists, and we're talking about ghosts, we're talking about ESP, psychokinesis, you know, all the realm, you know, fortune telling,
uh-huh.
If all that stuff exists, it actually isn't paranormal then. It is normal.
Yeah.
So if it's a normal thing that we're actually investigating, then it would be like being, you know, scared of living, or scared of a book, or scared of the TV, or scared of something normal.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's out there looking for this scary thrill, and when you're actually out in the cemetery, it just isn't quite like that. Although there
people,
are some that are evil.
Some people,
evil
and
feelings.
This goes back to the whole Hollywood thing, people think you go out in a cemetery after 12 o'clock at night that, like, this big apparition's going to jump up and go, and
we got to cut
Have
that.
You guys seen that?
Put that
or
on a promo.
Witchcraft or something.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
corner, one of the other.
I don't think anybody in this room has actually had something like that happen to me. I mean, if that happened, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Well,
right
I
now.
Did. You remember the one time we're driving, this was after the big,
we
were out with you guys the last time.
This is a good story.
We all were there, and we were in my little car.
We went to
Salem Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're driving, it's like a U-shaped kind
yeah.
of driveway. We drive up one driveway going in. We go around, there's like this bush at the 90-degree turn. We just passed the bush, and I mean...
He jumped right on the brakes. Threw me through the windshield.
Yeah, I slammed on the brakes, I go... kind
exactly.
of thing.
That's the sound he made.
And Scott's like, what?
That's when I pulled my, you know, my head out of the dash.
Yeah, and I'm like, there was someone standing there. And there was a figure, a person,
yeah.
a man, actually, standing next to this bush. And you couldn't see him as you're driving until you get beyond the bush, until you get, like... But it was a person, but there was no one there.
Yeah, and we.
I mean,
I took about 20 pictures
yeah,
of that
I took
same area
pictures
and didn't get anything at
there
all.
There was nothing there, just what I saw when we were driving. And that, so that kind of freaked me out a bit.
Yeah.
The thing is, fear of the unknown is natural. And when any time that you're out in a cemetery or in an abandoned house and you see, like, you know, say a shadow person, or you see movement where there shouldn't be movement,
mm-hmm.
that fear is natural because you don't know what's going to happen
mm-hmm.
next. I mean, you don't know if it's going to come at you. I mean, then when you're doing the investigation
mm-hmm.
and you're out there doing scientific, the thrill comes naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any place you go, regardless if we get any good pictures or not, the thrill is there because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's, you know, what is around the next corner.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing is being out there, being scientific, but yet you still have that thrill factor.
Oh, yeah, that's always going to be the uncertainty, and that there's a risk involved with that. That's what people may be looking for also, which that comes directly from Hollywood again. I hate to say it. And, I mean, honestly, when I started doing this, I mean, I know I was affected with that. I know, I mean, but I'm glad that I wanted to, read up on it enough to the point where, okay, I knew it wasn't going to be all it was cracked up to be, obviously. I mean, this isn't Poltergeist where skulls come, you know, running out of your closet or goos dripping down the walls. I mean, none of us have seen that. We're not knocking anything, well, this is really boring, but it isn't everything that's cracked up to be, and that's why some people, like you guys were talking about earlier, they go out there looking for this big thrill, and by the end of the night, they're like, whew.
Well, the thing is, it's not like a thing, even though, you know, you said E-Ticket and Disneyland, Disney World, whatever, it's not planned. You know, like, if you go on a roller coaster, you pretty much know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to go clang, 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 clang up to the thing, then boom, the world drops away from you and your stomach's, you know, above your head.
Up in your throat, yeah.
And so you know that this kind of stuff's going to go on when you go on it, because it's all planned. It's like scheduled and engineered that way. Paranormal's a little bit different in that you have absolutely no clue. And when something does happen, at least to me, it happens out of left field.
Yes.
Because you're like, you know, otherwise, I mean, it was an otherwise exciting night because I got that really interesting shot at Thayer. And, you know, so it was a fruitful night. But then when I pulled around that shrub or bush at Salem Walker and saw a figure standing there that was not there.
Doug doesn't react like that.
I don't react like that to
anyone. Doug's probably the most laid-back person I know, and he does not light up like that and, like, jump on the brakes. Well, you do that while we're driving a lot.
Well, that's because it's a stick-shift car, yeah.
Well, also because you drive like a nutcase, but oh, I'm going to get punched for that.
Huh?
I'm sorry.
I do not. Well, maybe. But I have no moving violations.
What are you trying to say?
I only have parking tickets. I don't have a moving violation.
Yeah, but my driving record.
I don't know.
Clean too.
I don't know your driving record.
All right, now we're arguing.
But
about,
I assume your insurance company does. Yeah.
Give him a call.
No, I'm
sorry.
Care.
I didn't mean that. I didn't hurt your feelings, Doug.
No, I just wanted to say that I don't have any moving violations, knock on wood. There goes
Wonderful.
To our other show that we're going to have to do later.
But that's what it comes down to, though. I mean, and the approach, it's a professional approach, bottom line. And it's a healthy mix. It has to be a healthy mix. It's good. You know, I know I've been out with you guys, and we're making all kinds of jokes. We have to. I mean,
well, yeah, you have to.
Because I mean, there is a part of this. It's a serious thing. We're trying to learn here. We're trying to understand, or well, possibly understand what happens after when you die. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the serious side. But you gotta have a little bit of fun too. I mean, don't tell me you guys don't have fun doing this. I mean, it's just 100% dedication to what we're doing. I don't care. I mean, it is a, you gotta have the fun there.
Right. There's a time to, you know, time to have fun. There's a time to be serious.
Exactly.
And you know, when we're out there being serious, I mean, don't go around with, you know, the other side of the house and start knocking on the, you know, knocking on the wall. You know.
Oh, you get your butt kicked for that.
Yeah.
If you do it to me.
Yeah. That. Well, that has happened on DVPI investigations.
I heard about that. It hasn't happened to me personally yet, but I got a real sore spot for something like that.
Yeah. People who do that are not invited.
When we went to Mansfield, that's one of the things they mentioned before you even walk in that prison. They're like, here's the rules. You don't try scaring people. This is a dark,
dangerous,
beat up, old, dangerous prison. If you scare somebody, they go running. They're going to trip and crack their head open. Very, very bad. Okay, I'm going to get mad.
Well,
I got a soft spot for that. I do. That's
calm down, because we're way off schedule. What we have to do is we also have to discuss... we also have to discuss upcoming things with DDP.
Yeah.
Anyone want to jump in?
Hey.
No, actually, I wanted to refer to the upcoming evidence party, which I think is a good idea. This is something that...
I've never heard about anything like this before.
I haven't either. I've been on how many Ghost Hunters websites?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, 8 billion, probably. Well, maybe that's a bit exaggerated, but a lot of Ghost Hunter sites, and I haven't seen anything such as an evidence party, like where... I mean, obviously, part of ghost hunting is going out and doing the ghost hunting.
Yeah.
And DDPI does a lot of that.
Right.
But then, at some point, you've got to sit down with all your... One of my favorite people in the universe just walked in the door. I am so happy. Anyway.
We should do this every week. This is a lot more fun to do a show this way.
Yeah, this is awesome. It's easy to do a show with people.
And yeah, I've never heard of an idea like this before.
Yeah, the second half of Ghost
We've had get-togethers with other, we know, with people before. Like, hey, let's, you know.
Yeah, like meetings or that kind of thing.
But an actual, like, okay, we're going to bring our stuff. We're going to actually have a raffle. I mean, the whole thing.
We're
like
gonna
bowling
make a
league almost.
It's going to be like a little party kind of thing, a meeting as well. But at the same time, the title of it is Evidence Party, where you, because the second half of ghost hunting is indeed looking at all those photographs, listening to all those tapes, watching all that film, and digging out the evidence that you've captured. And
having a good time.
Trying to have a good time while doing it. So let's talk about the Evidence Party a little bit.
And being able to compare what other people have found and seen as well.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I guess the Evidence Party is best described as almost a three-part. It involves a barbecue.
Yay!
In which people are expected to bring $5 worth of barbecue equipment or apparatus or food or paraphernalia. It's best if you're coming to contact Ryan and find out what your $5 should be spent on, because they're trying to make sure not everybody brings Diet Pepsi or not everybody brings Doritos.
Well, Doug's got that covered.
Oh,
don't
I'm
worry.
Doing Diet Pepsi for myself anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure I'll
carry this stuff around like a wino.
Bring your own. And as Scott has alluded to, it also involves a raffle in which we have select items, not only just evidentiary type items, but just bizarre, strange items that we've come across here and there in some of our travels and our investigations. Souvenirs, some people call them. They range from, what is it, a typewriter thing?
A Smith & Corona typewriter.
To a set of magnets or something from someplace. And
so just little souvenir
little
type
things.
You don't know what the hell it is, but you're going to get it for free.
Yeah, you get it for free.
Well, it's
going
to be,
you
be a raffle
your
ticket, whatever.
Yeah,
each item will have its own raffle price.
Yeah, well, here in Michigan, I did look up the rules, and in order to have a raffle at a planned event, it's completely legal as long as you don't make more than $100 on it.
You looked up the rules for
I did.
A raffle.
Now, is that $100 per raffled item or for
no,
the entire raffle?
The whole raffle, yeah. So, but, you know, so as long as you don't make, like, you know, a wad
I didn't know there was
cash.
Rules for a raffle. I thought you just kind of did it.
Well, otherwise you need a license, and that costs money.
Oh, really? Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so what you do is you try to keep your raffle, you know, into the $100 range.
Okay.
And you're cool with it.
Right.
And you're cool with the state. So here in Michigan, anyway, it's legal. So if you're going to do that, you know, look up on your local state
or just call Doug.
Country.
Or call
me.
He's an expert on it now.
I looked him up. Yeah.
And then the other part is going to be door prizes of some sort that we've decided to hopefully increase participation. And the Evidence Party, of course, bring any tapes, videos, still pictures that you have, and hopefully we'll be able to have enough equipment to where we can duplicate stuff that you're willing to share with others.
Right. So there's going to be, like, I know I'm going to bring my laptop, and I'm going to have some EVP kind of stuff loaded on it to do some EVP analysis, and also you can, like, transfer things from audio tape into CDs. Things like that, so that you can have it in a digital format. So those folks who don't who have 35 millimeter pictures, but don't have them scanned in a computer, I'm also bringing a scanner, and I'm sure that there'll be other people with scanners.
Hopefully,
so
I'll have a scanner, and we're also working on a network system.
Oh, cool!
So that we don't only have to make copies of everything.
We can zap them over to
Another hard drive or another laptop.
And then
or if
burn.
You got a nice convenient tower you don't mind hauling around, bring it down. If you don't have a laptop.
I've got some stuff.
I'll set up my desk and everything right there in the backyard. And we'll just, like, we'll set up a central base of operations right here.
Just a control panel.
Have a huge
desk. Right on a nice
it's
going to
look like NASA.
it should look like a control panel for something by the time everyone shows up with their equipment.
But the whole idea, then, is to be able to convert things from one format to another so that you can share it. Also, I heard, or I'm hoping to get Tom or Brian to show how to do the branding of the photos. Because you know how on every photo on DDPI's site has the watermark has DDPI on it somewhere. You know, why not teach people how to do that? And then they watermark their own photos, and then they can then share it,
the
world.
We have one.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
but I'd rather show you how to do it in the GIMP.
Oh, why?
The GIMP is a free
program. I paid
$50
for that thing, and you're telling me
the GIMP is free.
The GIMP was free. It isn't the GIMP. It's a program. Okay.
Right.
In case you think we're a couple of
We're not. Yeah, we're not being insensitive. Yeah. That's the name of a program. The new, spelled GNU, image manipulation program. And obviously, it's an image manipulation program, so you can do things like put your logo on pictures. Yeah. So
do image adjusting and.
Yeah, color management.
Hopefully, and details.
Make it sepia, that kind of thing, so that you can see if there's like a ghost there. Yeah.
That's the shopping cart of Photoshop.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Dead air.
Oh, hey, dead air.
All of a sudden, nobody had anything to say.
It isn't a show on Ghostly Talk unless we have dead air.
Unless you've got some minutes of dead air, yeah.
But this sounds like a really cool party. Hey, you know what? No, I'm not going to say it. Anyways, so I would have got punched for that one, so I'm leaving it alone.
Good.
But yeah, this is going on next weekend, though, isn't it?
September 7th.
Yeah,
yes.
Next weekend. Big party. Something a lot of fun.
It should be
very
interesting.
Rather very, large. Very interesting.
And I believe we've had RSVPs from 10 or 15 people at this point, maybe more. And, of course, if you have an RSVP, you always feel free to drop by. If you need directions, email Brian.
It's all on the website, his email address, because I know it's like DDPI at something west or something.
Wide open west.
Wide open west.
Don't make me start slamming Comcast.
Nettercom or whatever. So anyway, but all the contact info is on if you go to ddpi.net. So that's really all you have to remember is ddpi.net. It's all going to be there.
And, of course, also you'll be able to log on. Well, you don't even have to log on if you want to look at the pictures. And hopefully in the next 2 or 3 days we'll have the Chicago adventure.
Oh, I know you'll have
up
that.
Up and running. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of it's being done right now.
I'm sure it is.
And particularly the Bachelor Grove stuff. So check in the next day or two and see what's posted.
Cool.
That's awesome. We're going to have you guys back on the show. I've got...
Definitely.
We only have like 3 minutes left. And I've got like some shout-outs I've got to do.
Shout-outs.
So, yeah. No, not that guy. I just actual real stuff. So I want to thank Will and Tim and Steve.
Yeah,
and say, hey, Beth.
Beth just walked in.
And we're going to... I just want to give some like info real quick. The last Felt Mansion tour out in wherever it is, out west in Michigan.
Maybe we know that if we go there.
We're going to go. We are scheduled to go out there. Hey, Nicole, I can't wait. And anyway, the last Felt Mansion tour in Saugatuck, Michigan, is October 29th. And so go to, www.geocities.com/...
GHS. Okay, start over.
Or WM Ghost.
WM Ghost?
Yeah. Well, play the archive. The promo was played twice. So, WM Ghost, that's what it is.
Okay.
So, geocities.com/WM Ghost.
Okay.
Kate Fest. A lot, for some reason, there's been a lot of talk about the Bell Witch on the Ghostly Talk message board.
A lot.
And if you haven't been to the Ghostly Talk message board, you really should log in because there's just like all this stuff going on. So, so go to ghostlytalk.com and go to the message boards, sign in, read all the stuff. Kate Fest is the Bell Witch annual thing. That's coming up. And you go to katefest.com to look at that. That's down in somewhere near Clarksville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And that's coming up on the 27th, 8th, and 9th of September this month. So that's coming up. And I want to go. If anyone wants to go, email me, because I want to go even though Scott can't. I know. You have a wedding, I know. OSR, Ohio State Reformatory. They've got very few dates left. I think only one, actually. Did you print that out?
Yeah, didn't I give it to you?
Yeah, well, you know.
It's right here.
I don't pay attention to any of that stuff. Oh, okay.
OSR.
OSR, September 6th and 14th. So they do have more than one. September 6th and 14th. Also November 9th and 23rd. It's probably too late to get your registration in for the 6th because you've got to mail it in.
Yeah.
But go to...
MRPS.org.
Yes, MRPS.org and print out the stuff. Send in your money because it is a trip and a half.
Dude, you got a little twit. Did you hear that, guys? Send in your money.
Send in your money.
Send in your money.
Well, you know, I listened to that thing last night. Scott's band, MFPS, My Favorite Plaid Straight Jacket, TeamMFPS.com. They were on the local radio, like real radio, not just internet radio like Ghostly Talk is.
They actually have like a station and everything.
Yeah, so now I'm all down home and stuff. You know, I'm like homeboy now. And so you got to forgive me for that.
Yeah, that's anyway. A whole different attitude outside of Ghostly Talk.
No, really, you can't listen to that music without feeling like a Detroiter. Or, yeah. No, like
we're going for it.
West Virginia State Penitentiary. Did you know they have tours?
Yeah.
You
well,
did?
Now I know.
Oh, good. I'm
That's
like,
why I said yes.
Wait a minute.
Did you know they have tours?
Anyway, yes. They do have tours. There's one left, September 20th.
Mm.
So if you want to go to the West Virginia State Penitentiary tour, yeah, that's their ghost tour kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You go to WVPen Tours. So WVPenTours.com. Look into that as well.
Yes.
Guess what? We're a minute over. I had 4 minutes worth
like
of announcements.
This isn't the first time.
Yeah.
Good show tonight. Thanks for coming out, guys. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
We've been wanting to have you guys out here for a long time. I wish Brian could have got here, though, unfortunately.
He'd be like a show and a half of his own, though. I mean, yeah. He's like got everything in his committed to his head.
He's
so he would just be a
centric person.
Yeah.
Hi, Brian. Sorry
hey, Brian.
Out, man. But yeah, we do have to go, though, unfortunately. I know everybody out there is weeping uncontrollably.
That's it for this week with Ghostly Talk.
Definitely. We'll
listen
see you
up,
next week.
Yes, listen up Sundays at 7.
Sundays at 7.
Eastern time.
Yeah. And
I'm Doug.
And I'm Scott L. And this was Ghostly Talk.
Got something to say before you walk away. 'Cause if I told you what I've told you a thousand times, I don't really have the time to sit and listen to you whine. Oh well, whatever, that's fine. It's not like I had it right. Told you what I had in mind. It's not my fault that you're so blind. Sorry if this is unkind, but I'm the one. Told you we were doomed from the start, and I'm the one who handed you what's left of your heart. And now you try to hide what's going on behind your eyes, and you say just one more try, but I don't think there's a way I'll be seeing you by my side. It's something don't ever say.
before you walk away. Thank you.